Warrior sound coverage of the NBA playoffs continues here as we look ahead to Game 2. Warriors broadcaster Bob Fitzgerald joining us. And when you think of how the Warriors made that comeback, what sticks with you here as you look at Game 1 and what the Warriors will take now into Game 2?
Well, it's hard to believe it happened because Greg Popovich had been 316-0 when leading by 25 or more. And you get down 15-18, you're thinking, okay, maybe 20 at halftime, 25. 23 with 7 minutes left in the third. It's improbable that it would happen. Yet, these Warriors are built for comebacks, maybe better than any other team, because they're the best combination of relentless defense and then phenomenal offense. So they can shut you down, and then they have the firepower to take the lead. So, you know, San Antonio should have won game one. They should be up 1-0, and they squandered that opportunity. And in a seven-game series when teams are both really good, and these teams are two best records in the league, last time two teams with 60 or more wins met was Utah-Chicago in the NBA Finals 19 years ago. So that's the quality that we're seeing. To come back and steal a game there, it bodes well for the Warriors, put San Antonio in a tough spot.
I think back several seasons ago to a game against the Raptors at Oracle Arena where the Warriors came back from, I believe, something like 28 points down, and that seemed like a monumental feat at the time. The team was getting better, but this game seemed like, you know, it could turn, even though at halftime it was bleak, but you look at what the Warriors have as far as firepower goes, and you're like, you know, they can get back into this game.
Well, it really shows the offseason acquisition of Durant and how critical, because Klay Thompson had a rough shooting day. And so if Klay was off and it's just Steph, you don't have enough firepower. But Steph goes for 40 and Durant goes for 34. You had enough offense there, and then Klay hit a timely three. So the comeback against Toronto, I remember calling that game with Jim where we said if they hit a couple threes, they could get this building involved. Well, the building got involved too. That exhorts the Warrior defense and the rhythm and the flow Steve Kerr always talks about. It starts defensively and then they shoot better and then they play better defense. They continue to shoot better. It's all interconnected. And once that train gets going downhill, you better not get in front of it.
On this Monday, Greg Popovich, Spurs head coach, ruling out Kawhi Leonard for Game 2. What do we expect the Spurs' response to be without Leonard?
Well, I think you have to look at them beating Houston by 39 on the road without Kawhi Leonard. I think great teams can rally up for a game or a sequence without a great player. Over the long haul, you have to have the best players in the league. That's just part of the deal. I would imagine that San Antonio will go really big again with Gasol, with LaMarcus Aldridge, and try to pound the Warriors inside. They'll need a much better game from Patty Mills. They didn't have that. So Patty Mills, Simmons, Danny Green, everybody else will have to play better. I think they will miss Leonard defensively and also miss him at critical times when he can be the sublime scorer that he is. So can they cover that for a little while? Sure. Can they cover out for four quarters at Oracle now that the rust thing is kind of done with the Warriors? That's going to be a tall task.
Was that what it was just early in the game, just getting reacclimated, having swept the Trailblazers, having swept the Jazz, and having that much time off? That literally was what we were talking about last time, being the rest versus rust concerns, and the rust just had to be shaken off.
Yeah, I think you don't want to diminish the Spurs in that. The Warriors were rusty, yes, but the step up in level from Portland to Utah to San Antonio, that also was evident. A lot of those turnovers against lesser teams would be sloppy. Against San Antonio, it's great Spurs defense, good game planning. They're in the passing lanes. They've scouted the Warriors very well. And the Warriors were rusty. So I think you got to, you know, a little bit of rust, but also credit the Spurs for what they did. They owned that first half and what they took away from Warrior basketball.
Warriors broadcaster Bob Fitzgerald joining us here on Warriors Sound as we look ahead to Game 2 on Tuesday night at Oracle Arena. And you think of the production from the bench. While it wasn't a whole bunch of points, there were some key shots that were pretty critical for the Warriors when they needed it.
Well, we said during the year that the grow-up season of Ian Clark would benefit in the playoffs, where he could play 4 or 5 minutes, 8 minutes, and not be afraid to take a big shot or get a steal or a nice assist. Well, here it was in the key run of the game, and Ian takes a three and rails it. And that's the depth of the Warriors that's so amazing. And whether it's David West and Matt Barnes and Iguodala didn't play the whole second half, and so you needed Ian Clark, and Andre's banged up a little bit, so the depth will be tested. Sean Livingston was magnificent. These guys have been battle-tested, but I'm really happy and proud of Ian Clark that he and JaVale McGee are parts of this rotation on given nights, and they're ready to rock and roll when you need them most, and the Warriors needed every bucket that was made, and the three that Ian made was huge.
couple of things here on the Spurs as we look forward to this game too on Tuesday night at Oracle Arena, and you think of the production they're getting out of a very young guy, Jonte Murray, and also Jonathan Simmons really showing his stuff there. How much with these guys is it that they just get implemented into this great system that the Spurs have, and really what are you seeing from them? Because they seem to be very formidable in the kind of things that they can do.
Look at San Antonio in finding Patty Mills and finding Danny Green and then molding them into championship pieces. Murray and Simmons are along the same lines there. As they first, they identify talent as good as any team in the league. Then they develop that talent. And then if you don't play the right way, you don't get to play. And so there's demanding standards that get applied during the regular season. And so here they are in pressure situations. I throw Kyle Anderson in there too. And they're ready to roll with the phenomenal veteran group of Ginobili and Pau Gasol. And unfortunately, they're missing Tony Parker. But that's why the Spurs are the Friday the 13th Jason of the NBA. You can't kill them. You can't eliminate them. They always keep coming, get new body parts, whatever it is. Their success over two decades is magical. The Warriors are on a five-year run. They have to do that four times five to get to the Spurs level, and that's just magnificent to see.
When we look at their response, and we talked a little bit about it, is how they're going to respond without Kawhi Leonard in the lineup, but who do you think comes up big for them in Game 2, Game 3, Game 4 to really help make it a series?
Well, they put a lot of pressure on LaMarcus Aldridge, and they'll need Danny Green to make 5-6 threes. They'll need Patty Mills to make 5-6 threes. They'll need something from the unsung players. But I think that the Houston game is very fresh in their mind, that without Kawhi, can they still play good defense? Yes. Can they still take care of the basketball? Yes. Can they limit the Warriors as they did so well for large portions of Game 1? Probably yes. But if it gets away from them a little bit and the Warriors get some separation, they won't have enough firepower without Kawhi, I think, to come back in the game.
Put together a radio commercial this morning for the rest of the series with Coach Brown really praising Dub Nation and the fans at Oracle for helping turn the tide. And we talk about it all the time, being the best fans in the NBA and all of sports. But really, it was very, very obvious yesterday how much that helped. When you think of how this continues to grow and where we're going with this thing, why is that groundswell so important? It really did fuel things yesterday.
A lot of scar tissue. A lot of scar tissue. You know, we used to say after the nuclear fallout that it'd be Warrior fans would be one of the last living organisms. They're that tough. They're that knowledgeable. And they're proactive. They cheer to make things happen rather than reactive, waiting for things to happen. The noise at Oracle with the acoustics of that building and that fan base has a physical quality to it. And I always say the opponents fear it and the Warrior players feel it. And there's never more in evidence than Game 1. Just to that second half, they don't stand because the scoreboard says stand up. They stand because they know this is the time that the tide needs to change for the game. And that's where Dub Nation was kind of there in full throat and full voice. And when Steph hits a three and you can feel that magic start to happen and you can feel the crowd get into it and they know they're having an impact in the game, it's what makes sports so much fun. You know, we talk about social media and we get into laptops and cell phones and this, and we're the most antisocial because we're looking down and texting all the time. I'll take social media of 20,000 people going nuts at Oracle. The commonality to pull for one goal and have everybody enjoy that experience together, it's what makes Warrior basketball great, but playoff basketball even better.
It was great fun. Fitz, thanks so much for joining us.
Always looking forward to it. We got to keep doing this a long time, like maybe even in Cleveland before we're said and done.
Loving it.